Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Typing quickly and efficiently on a touchscreen device can be a daunting task, especially if you're visually impaired.
Using predictive algorithms and auto-correction, the Flexi app makes this task much easier and more reliable. We'll talk with Yanis Verdalis, co-founder and COO of Flexi, about the history of the app, the technology behind it, and towards the end of the program, upcoming improvements. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Yanis.
By making your technology, your software accessible, you may be solving a lot of problems that sighted people were having as well. And a lot of the principles that we've designed with the idea that things should be universal, not accessible, but universal. So by universal, I mean that there are techniques and tools you can use that apply to both blind and non-blind users. And we've been told by some blind user, you know, if you could do this, then it would be awesome for blind users. But if it wouldn't work for sighted people, we just wouldn't do it. And vice versa. There are some things that you can hack something quickly that would work for sighted people, and it just wouldn't work for blind people. And we've tried to make something universal, and that's really helped our whole development process. And I think that has defined the product to be what it is.
We talk with lots of people about accessibility, and, you know, it often turns out they have to struggle to get some company or developer to make their program or product accessible. And then it turns out, voila, in the end, sighted people enjoy it more too, or find it more functional and easier to use.
And we've done a number of shows about accessibility of various things. Not surprisingly, that's really the whole point of Eyes on Success, is providing information about products and services that make things possible for the blind and visually impaired. But we will have links in the show notes to this show to a number of other episodes that specifically address the universal design question and the differences between accessibility and usability, and about the symbiosis between making things better for the blind and better for the sighted.
And as Nancy mentioned, we've certainly interviewed many people who have made that point on Eyes on Success. But this show in particular about the Flexi development really is a great example of how that process works and how designing for the visually impaired can actually benefit not only the sighted community, but also the developer in the end analysis.
Let's start by meeting Yanis Verdalis and learning about Flexi, the company. And we'll get into Flexi, the app, in the next segment.
Hi there. I'm Yanis Verdalis. I am co-founder and COO of Flexi, the keyboard technology for smart devices.
Now, I take it you are not visually impaired yourself, but you've made this application very accessible to visually impaired people. Is that correct?
That's right. So I'm not visually impaired myself, and actually, when we started making Flexi, what we wanted to do was to improve the typing experience for smartphones for every user. And we found out in the process that blind people use iPhones. And that was a big surprise to us at the time. And we decided that as a very challenging market to service, but also as a group of users who would challenge us and help us develop the technology further, it was a great market to get started from.
And how did that all happen? Did you have any experience with visually impaired people in your life, or did people just catch on and write to your support line?
I didn't, until I started Flexi, know anyone personally who was visually impaired. How it started is my co-founder, Costa Eleftheriou. He is the CEO of Flexi. At some point, went to a conference called CSUN, which is focused on accessible technologies in San Diego. And at the time, we hadn't really properly started Flexi. We were kind of thinking about it. And there, he met a lot of people who were visually impaired, and he discovered that there's actually a market for what we were thinking to build. And he called me and he said, you know, I've shown a few people our prototype, and they were very, very excited by it. And then we started reading up about accessibility and about visually impaired technologies and so on. And we found out that there are actually a lot of apps and a lot of technologies for visually impaired people using smartphones, which was a complete surprise to me. I thought visually impaired people would use phones with buttons, not smartphones with touchscreens.
So that's very interesting. If you hadn't intended to make your product for somebody with a disability, why did he go to CSUN?
You know, we always had this benchmark in our mind. Even me as a sighted person, when I type on a laptop, I don't have to look at the keyboard in order to type fast. You know, I'm a what they call a blind typist, right? And blind typing for hardware keyboards is kind of the gold standard. So we were making software keyboards for smartphones, and we had that gold standard in mind. You know, what if we could type without even looking on a phone? And so Costa went over to CSUN to find out how blind people type and how they interact with touchscreen technologies. And, you know, we had no idea, to be honest. We had read about voiceover a little bit on the internet, but we had never tried it. And that's why we went there to actually see it for ourselves, you know, to see some blind people using a smartphone and just understand how they do it.
You know, it's interesting you should talk about the synergy between developing something to be accessible and usable by another group of people like the visually impaired and that application being more useful for sighted folks. When I first learned Windows in the early 90s, I bought a book from the National Braille Press called Windows from the Keyboard. And it turned out I thought this would be great, you know, being visually impaired. I'd learn how to operate Windows using keyboard navigation and keyboard shortcuts. Turned out the book was actually written by a sighted person who traveled a lot on airplanes with his laptop, and using the little trackpads was very difficult. So he learned to use Windows using shortcuts and keyboard commands.
Absolutely. I think even for sighted people, we call it visual cognitive load when we measure stuff on Flexi. If you have to look on a phone and you have to look at a small button or a small detail, it's hard for sighted people, you know, because you say it's not a black or white. It's not you're visually impaired or blind or you're not. You know, even people with perfect eyesight will find it hard to hit a tiny button on a small screen or to use a trackpad in a plane, right? So some of the tricks that blind people use are useful for everyone else.
Well, in fact, after Pete memorized everything he needed out of this book on Windows from the Keyboard, I took it, and I've been using keyboard shortcuts all the time ever since, and I can see just fine.
Yeah, exactly. So, and everybody does Control-C for copy, right? That's a good example. And the same thing for smartphones. It's just that many developers, including ourselves at the time, don't even know that blind people use smartphones at all.
Let's start talking about the company, Flexi. Is that the name of your company?
Yeah, we actually call the company Syntelia, but that's just the corporate name. We go by Flexi normally.
And when did you found the company?
We were founded in the spring of 2011. We were two friends that started it, me and Costa. We've known each other since college. And at the time, Costa was here in San Francisco, and I was in the UK, in Manchester.
What was your backgrounds to get involved in this? What had you both done previously?
We both have a computer science educational background. It was kind of a good fit when we came together because we both understand computing and technology. And Costa has more the technology mind, and I have more the business operations mind. And so it seemed like a good fit to come together and work on something.
It does take both to be successful.
Yeah, of course.
So he's the CEO and you're the COO.
Yeah, although in practice, the way we split the roles is obviously more vague. Like if something is technical, then Costas gets really involved and he's the inventor of the technology, if you like. And if there's something to do with marketing or press or more operations, then I normally get involved.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
This week's focus topic is Flexi, the app that makes touch typing on a touchscreen a whole lot easier and more reliable.
For those that aren't familiar with the app, can you give us the high-level overview of what Flexi is and what it does, why it's special?
Sure. So Flexi is a software keyboard. It's a QWERTY keyboard, so like your regular phone's keyboard. But what it does is it allows you to type where you think the letters are. So you can type inaccurately, you can mistype a lot of letters in a word. And we have a patent pending algorithm that corrects your input successfully as you type. So think of it like autocorrect, but something much more powerful than that, it's in effect the next generation of autocorrect. And the application right now, it lets you type a piece of text, and then you can either send it to somebody as an email or as a message or post it to Facebook or Twitter. With iOS 8, of course, that changes and the keyboard will be available in whichever app you are. So if you're on the Messages app or in your email or in your browser, you will get the Flexi keyboard integrated right inside these applications.
So the App Store to me is an incredible place. I mean, there are hundreds of thousands of apps and a lot of competition. A lot of them sell inexpensively. It must be difficult to get a product into the App Store. It takes a lot of work, especially to make a program as sophisticated as Flexi. And then you never know what's going to happen. Can you tell us a little bit about what that challenge is like?
Sure. So there were some interesting statistics coming out recently that say that well over 90% of the apps that you see in the store haven't actually made any money for the people who made them, not even enough to pay them for their time in creating them. That's because there are actually millions of apps in the store, and making an app be discovered by users is really hard, letting alone getting users to actually pay you for something, which a lot of people actually believe that software have the perception that software is free oftentimes. And so actually earning any money is even harder. With Flexi, for us, it was still challenging. The main difference is that we had, rather than an app that does something that tons of other apps do, we had something that was very unique. So there aren't that many keyboard apps in the store, and certainly not any that you can type without even looking or that address the accessibility market. So our initial steps were more geared at optimizing the technology for the visually impaired market. So we made a version of Flexi that was really, really optimized to be used by a blind person or a visually impaired person, and engaging with that community to spread the word just in that community. And in fact, the first version of Flexi that went into the store, if you weren't a voiceover user, you couldn't even use it. It was blocked. If voiceover was off, you would get an error message.
Oh, interesting. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Started firmly from that market, and we didn't want to be. We had a vision that we would eventually be in the mainstream market, but we knew how hard that would be servicing two different markets and so on. We had a very small team.
So you kind of started with a well-established niche market and then grew it from there.
Yeah, and also we thought, well, we were still, and we still are in fact now, but we were developing the technology a lot. In many ways, we were looking for direction on the product, and we were thinking, how do we do this or how do we do that? And optimizing for one specific niche market helps you in that you don't have people with conflicting needs so much. So it was really helpful to concentrate on one thing.
So now Flexi is a free app in the App Store, and I guess the other part of your business model must be to sell the software development kit to other people, or how do you fund the project?
So we started on the App Store actually as a paid app initially. And at the time, it wasn't possible to integrate the keyboard system-wide. And we found that that was a huge challenge for users. So we then switched model to a model where the main app is completely free. And we have a software development kit for other app developers to integrate. And that's how we monetized at the time. What is happening now, right now in the marketplace, is that from this fall, with iOS 8, we're going to be able to distribute our keyboard directly to consumers in a way that integrates with the whole phone. So rather than you having to download an app that has enabled Flexi, if you download Flexi, then it will be able to be used everywhere around your phone. So I think we're going to be changing business model yet again, and we probably will work again to charge for the technology to consumers who use it system-wide rather than with individual developers.
And we should sort of underline that point for people who may not have understood it. Currently, you can only use the keyboard that comes built into Apple across all their applications. But with iOS 8, what you're saying is you can use third-party keyboards developed by other developers.
That's right. So with iOS 8, up until now, for the last 7 years, Apple had their own keyboard, and that's the only keyboard you could use in different apps. So the way we existed was we created our own keyboard, but we had to partner with individual application vendors to integrate our keyboard only in a few of these millions of apps in the store. What we will be able to do with iOS 8 is provide our keyboard deeply integrated into the phone, and a user could just get Flexi and use Flexi instead of the Apple keyboards everywhere they are.
We've been talking about using Flexi on Apple iOS devices, but is it also available on Android devices?
Separately to all the work we've done on the iPhone, a few months ago, we launched an app on Android. The Android keyboard is a system-wide keyboard, and you can use it in any application. And that app is what iOS 8 will give us on the Apple side. Unfortunately, we haven't yet made that completely TalkBack accessible. So it works with TalkBack, but it doesn't work great. And we're working with the Android team to fix a few issues on the platform in order to be fully accessible on both platforms.
So you've talked a little bit about the difficulty of making Flexi totally accessible for the visually impaired on the Android operating system. And I know you've run into similar issues on the iPhone. Can you talk about the special challenges in making programs accessible and some of the special things you had to go through?
Sure. So let's start from the iPhone. So the iPhone is a fantastic platform for developers who want to create accessible apps. Firstly, because a lot of the tools that people use by standard are already accessible. So a lot of apps in the store that are accessible today, you know, honestly, most developers don't even know that they are accessible. It's just that the iPhone tools are accessible. And if a developer uses the tools properly, oftentimes their app will be accessible without even trying, which is fantastic. Some of the challenges that you have, and they affect both mobile platforms, is when, as a developer, you create applications that are a little bit outside the norm. So instead of using the standard tools that the technology gives you, you have to develop some of your own tools. So for us, in the case of a keyboard, we don't use, for example, standard buttons. We don't use the standard correction techniques that the phone gives us. We've developed our own tools in certain areas. And so you have to make these tools accessible. Honestly, oftentimes it's not very hard. It's just a case of testing and of knowing how to test and how to develop things for an accessible market. On Android, the situation is a little different. And the main problem you have on Android is that the operating system is a bit newer than the iPhone, and there are so many versions of it around. You know, it has evolved very rapidly, and so many people who bought a phone a year ago are running a completely different version than the version that is shipping with phones today. Then there's different manufacturers that make these phones, and some manufacturers go and change stuff in the operating system. So even if you follow best practice and you make your app accessible, it may be accessible on one phone and not be accessible on another phone, or it may behave differently between different devices. And that's the challenge with Android specifically. Although I have to say that in more recent versions, it has been improved a lot. And so more recently, a lot of people are running kind of latest versions, and a lot of manufacturers have been less creative with changing stuff. So you get a more consistent experience.
There are some advantages, like in Apple's case, to owning the software and the hardware.
That's right, because you know what you're getting. You know, you test on just a handful of devices and configurations, and you're done. Whereas on Android, if you see how many of these phones we have in the office to test corner cases, you'll be surprised. We have dozens of phones just to test the same thing over and over again.
How many languages does it work in?
On Android, we now have 35 languages. iOS is a little behind, but by the time iOS 8 launches, we will have 40 languages on both platforms.
Now, all of these different languages, a lot of them use slight variations on the arrangement of the keyboard. I assume Flexi handles all of that?
Yeah, that's one of the things we have to build for a new language. There's different keyboard layouts. In some of the languages, there are multiple keyboard layouts. So Canadian, French people use different keyboard layouts than people in France. That's one of the pieces of work we have to do for every new language.
And just so people know, there are methods within Flexi to type exactly the letters you want and or create custom dictionaries.
That's right. And so, yeah, there are certain things that will never be in a keyboard's dictionary. Proper names, place names, certain things that are very rare. So Flexi, A, there are ways to accurately type them. So if you want to type somebody's name, there's a way to type it and override the correction. And also, it also learns from you as you type. So if there's something that you type a lot and it's a peculiar word, then eventually it learns that this is a word that for your personal dictionary, it should be never corrected, or it should be saved in your personal dictionary.
I've personally used Flexi a little bit, and it actually works very well. One of the things I've had a little difficulty with, though, is editing text. And I was wondering how that should really work.
We're going to basically be able to use the operating system standard controls with iOS 8, so we don't have to create all of this by ourselves. They're going to be available to us, just like in any other app. You know, if you're using the Mail app, you have all these edit controls built in just by standard. So that's how it's going to work.
Well, that'll be exciting.
Okay, Pete, you said you've tried Flexi. What's your impression? What was your experience really like?
So just to give people an idea of what it is like, you just have to type approximately where the letters are on the keyboard, and the program kind of guesses what word that you want to make. If it guesses wrong, it's very easy to change what that word is by just swiping down a little list and then select the choice that you want and then move on. One thing I found a little interesting was on my iPhone, it's a rather small device, and I was laying my fingers on the keyboard near the bottom of the screen in a landscape mode, as you would on a regular keyboard. And I found that sometimes that would cause me to make errors. And what was happening there was I was getting too close to the edges and the margins of the device. And I finally figured out that if I used the phone in portrait mode and then just typed with one finger, I was able to do it a lot more quickly and accurately. I mean, depending on your situation and if you're using maybe an iPad, which is bigger, you might want to do it in landscape mode and pretend you have a regular keyboard and just bring all your fingers to more or less to the home position. But I guess there are various ways of doing it, and you should experiment to see what you're comfortable with. But overall, it works very well, and you can type a lot more quickly on the Flexi keyboard than you can on the built-in Apple keyboard. So it'll be nice when iOS 8 comes out that you'll be able to use Flexi across all applications seamlessly.
Now for this week's final item, what's planned for the future and how to get both the Flexi app and more information about it.
So I presume you have a fair amount of work to get ready for the release of iOS 8 and the use of Flexi in that operating system. What else do you see for the future of Flexi? Where is it headed?
Now, building more languages is a key challenge we have, not just because it expands our market, but there are so many people that are bilingual these days that not having certain even smaller languages affects sales and affects the performance in key markets like the US and so on. So language coverage is one thing. We want to also extend to Asian languages, where we see a huge growing market right now. And for us, it's a never-ending race, because I think a reviewer on the internet put it very well. He said the best thing about Flexi is that it's accurate 99.9% of the time. The worst thing about it is that it is accurate only 99.9% of the time.
Yeah, I used to use Dragon Naturally Speaking, and this was 10 to 15 years ago, and they claimed they were something like 95% accurate. Let me tell you, that other 5% was really frustrating, and they've improved big time since then, and so now it's actually usable, but every percent is huge.
Oh, absolutely. If you look at the percentages differently, an improvement from 98% to 99%, it makes it twice as good. It means that you would make, in every 100 words, you would make 2 mistakes, now you make 1. So these are big differences, even down to the decimal point. So there's still a lot of work, in my mind, to be done until it's truly 100%.
So I assume if anybody wants to actually install the app on their smartphone, they either go to the App Store or the Play Store, depending on what device they have. But if they're just interested in learning more about it and or your company, where would they go?
So our website, probably the best place, it's flexi.com, which is FLEKSY.com. And from there, we have some information on the product, videos and stuff. And we also have a link to our support forum where you can ask questions and get support and help.
And can people find documentation there on the special gestures and other functions included in the keyboard?
Yes. And there's also, once you download it, there's also some instruction menu in the app that gives you a cheat sheet of the basic gestures that you need to know to use it.
And there's a link to your customer support team as well?
Yes, from inside the app as well as from our website.
Well, that should make it easy for people.
Yeah, we try to speak to them so that we can know what to improve as well. If something gets a lot of support requests, then it means we haven't done it right.
That's fun. I mean, this has got to be fun for you to have developed an app that really took hold in the App Store and became very popular and has quite a following these days.
I think between the two platforms, we have almost 2 million downloads now. So a lot of downloads and users. And it's been fascinating. I remember the time when we sent it to the first 100 people as beta testers. I really do. And I remember when our Twitter feed, we set up the account and nobody had ever tweeted anything about Flexi because nobody knew what we were. We had one follower, myself. And I remember the time when the Twitter feed was empty, like first tweet. And now it's 20,000 followers. I don't know. It's pretty exciting.
Okay, so what's your Twitter handle?
Oh yeah, Twitter is a great place to get in touch with us too. It's at Flexi, F-L-E-K-S-Y. And we monitor it almost 24 hours a day. So that's a great place to get in touch with us as well.
We've been emailing back and forth to set up this interview, and you just have the most wonderful signature line on your email. Would you speak that to everybody?
Yeah. You saw the one from my laptop, which says, sent from my laptop, sorry about the typos and brevity?
Well, I did see that, yes. And then I saw one that you used Flexi with.
And I have one that says typed without looking, which I sent from my Android phone. When I use my iPad, I have one that says, is your mobile signature still apologizing for your keyboard? I have many, depending on which device I use. But I always tease with that, because this email signature that you get when you get an email from somebody sent from their phone, and it always says, you know, sorry about the typos. And this signature for me is why we're doing what we're doing, you know, why we're still waking up every morning to improve the keyboards. We didn't used to have to say that at the bottom of every email when we had hardware laptops and keyboards. So that's our plan, is to eliminate that signature, basically.
That would be great. And it's really great to see how popular this app has become, and all because they develop it for visually impaired people, and that's going to benefit the sighted people a lot because they don't want to have to look at their keyboard when they're typing either, and maybe some people aren't as dexterous as others, so it really accommodates for that also. Anyway, as usual, we'll have links to all the contact information and where you can find this app in the various app stores in our show notes associated with this show at our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for show number 1436. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about working as a research oceanographer. Amy Bauer gradually lost most of her vision as she pursued a PhD in oceanography and continued her career as a research scientist at the Woods Hole Oceanography Institute. We'll talk with her about her experiences leading research cruises, working with colleagues, and even being attacked by pirates off the coast of Somalia. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpy and Peter Torpy, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and on audioboo.fm at Eyes on Success, or Twitter at _EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.